Thank you, Barbara. Wasn't that wonderful? Amen.
Good morning to all of you. Hola, or no. Aloha. That was pitiful. Aloha.
Aloha.
This is Pacific Islanders Month. Did you know that? If anybody is a Pacific Islander, stand up. If you stand up, Pacific Islanders, if you have any Pacific Islander heritage, stand up.
The pastor is off? Now it's on. Thank you very much. It is true that the pastor is often off. We know that mentally. Speaking of off, I went to print out my sermon this morning, and it popped up with a message. It said, your printer is out of cyan. Out of the blue. I still think it's funny. We welcome you. We are gathered here in person and also virtually and online persons. We welcome you, and we welcome you regardless of when you are worshiping with us, because we come in worship and to center ourselves on our Lord God. No announcements that I'm aware of that are not already printed in the worship bulletin. We will not be doing the new member ceremony, as you see it printed in your bulletin this morning. We'll let you know when we're going to be doing that. But for this Sunday, we're holding off. Paya, do you have anything else that we need to remember as far as we're in the midst of that? Michael, and have Hallie stand up. She's wearing a Pacific Islander outfit, aren't you wearing? Look at that. Aloha. And Larry's wearing a, Larry, stand up. See, aloha. Thank you guys for helping us be colorful. Isn't that wonderful? And we have, go ahead, Stephanie, please.
I just want to remind, so Vacation Bible School is in 5 weeks. So 9th through the 23rd of June, 19th through the 23rd of June, and it's stellar. Yes, we're going to space, so.
Some of us would say I'm already spaced out. That's another question. Jim Latow, did you have an announcement by way of announcements and schedules and such?
Does it count that I've been to Wake Island, Hawaii, Guam? Does that count?
Guam, is Guam a Pacific Islander? Okay, there's
a lot of water around it.
What did you say?
There's a lot of water around it.
There's a lot of water. Thank you, Jim. There is a wonderful NOVA program on the Tongan volcano. If you have not had a chance, and if you are able to, gives you a good cross section of what happened and some of the things they're dealing with there. And I did ask Lucy and Neil, and they said rebuilding is progressing. So we give thanks to that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any other things by way of announcements for the good of the order as we come and as we gather? Seeing none, let's stand up, wave hello to one another, and we'll begin with our call to worship.
Please remain standing as we join together in our call to worship, as printed in your bulletin. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Christ who loves us and washed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving God. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Look, he is coming with the clouds, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Please remain standing as we join together in singing hymn number 277, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Now that some of you are seating yourselves, I would ask you again to please rise for today's scripture reading. The first scripture reading is our gospel reading, so please remain standing.
I did not explain this to Nalo, but I'll explain briefly to you. We believe that Luke and Acts were written by the same author. And so if you listen to Luke, we're reading the last part of Luke, and then we will read the beginning of Acts. So see if you can feel the continuity between the two documents. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Scripture reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 53. Listen for the word of the Lord. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, Jesus said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witness of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The word of the Lord.
Please sit down. Thank you. By way of prayer concerns, I do celebrate prayers for the people of the Pacific Islanders, specifically of Tonga, that continue to rebuild from the tsunami, really, and the ash cloud that came out of the volcano that covered them. But I want to lift some of the other prayers, the prayers on the back of the bulletin. We continue to pray for those as you see them listed. We want to make you aware of those. Are there other prayer concerns that you would lift this morning as we're gathered here? Prayers of the family. And Ruby, please.
As Jessica, our youngest, is here from Grand Junction, she will be going home tomorrow. We need prayers that she has a safe trip home. Thank you.
Okay, Jesse, safe travel. Ruella, please.
I have two great nieces who are both pregnant. One of them, they have found some small blood clots in the placenta, and they are carefully watching that, so prayers that that will heal itself. And the other one is having her seventh child.
Seven?
And she has had trouble with the last few pregnancies, so prayers that this one will go just fine.
Can you tell me their first names?
Ilea and Alanis.
Ilea and Alanis. Alanis, okay. Prayers for Ilea and Alanis. Thank you for that. Thank you. We are having a relatively clear day today compared to some of the smoky days we've had, but it helps us be aware of our Canadian brothers and sisters who are suffering from wildfires. We know what that's like, don't we? State of Colorado. So prayers for them. Prayers for flooding and for other natural disasters as they continue around us. Prayers for upcoming graduations and students and celebrating all of those special achievements. Other prayers. For the birthday list, I have down here that Neo is having a birthday on Monday the 22nd. Is that true? Pastor Neo, birthday? And he's going to be 16. 18, I'm sorry. Well, I'm almost right. 16, 18. He's going to be 68. See? See, so we got it between us. Wendy Burvey's having a birthday on Thursday. Melba, is that true? Wendy? And James Lata. James, where did he get away to?
Yes, sir. My conversation here was deciding when I could speak.
I see. Well, and I have you down here as having a special day on May 26th. Is that true? Is it your birthday on Friday?
I was awful young at the time. Yes, it was, sir. Yesterday, my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren all gathered, and we had a good day.
All right. Happy birthday to you, my friend.
For an 80-year-old man.
80 years.
Thank you.
Octogenarian. Amen. Next week, Lucy's having a birthday on Monday. Yes, and you have something else you want to... Wait for the mic so the people online can figure you out, too.
Our grandson, Antonio Dolutau Jr., he's from Australia. He will be 9 on Wednesday, the 24th.
Birthday on Wednesday, the 24th?
Yes.
Neil, thank you, 24th. Happy birthday to you. As you get older, it's easier to not be shy about them, trust me. Or maybe it's more so. I have down here that Carol Danielson will be celebrating a birthday. She's over here on next Thursday. Is that true, Carol Danielson? June 1st. Is that right? I'm a week ahead, aren't I?
I'm going to be here next week.
All right, June 1st. Though, how old are you going to be on June 1st?
83.
Happy birthday to you. So I'm a week ahead. All right. What else is new? Sandy Tinney, did you celebrate your anniversary with Gene?
We're celebrating today, tomorrow, and the next day.
And you're going to Black Hawk and gamble, is that right?
Yes.
Sinful. Colin and Ruka had an anniversary on Sunday. It's today. I wish I could read my own list. It's terrible. All right, others, anybody else that we need to lift and celebrate? So those are some of the birthdays going on or coming up or whenever they're happening, happy birthday, happy anniversary. Amen? All right. Any other prayers that we would like to share with the family? I want to acknowledge the silent prayers lifted. They may not be allowed. God hears them, and God is with us. Let's read our unison prayer. Lord God, hear our prayer. We who have failed to see Christ in our midst, we who have failed to hear songs of love in our midst, we who have placed our agendas first, we come now bringing our humble confessions. We have failed to be an obedient people. We have failed to give openly and cheerfully. We have failed to care for the needy among us. And we have failed to make God our first priority. Lord God, to be better each day, each moment, in the name of our Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, thank you for being with us this morning, for your presence, for your care. Through Jesus Christ, you brought the Word, and through the Holy Spirit, you bring the Spirit upon us and the guidance that is always with us, within us. We come and we gather in prayer, acknowledging where we have not quite met, been on the path that you would have us be on. We are moving on, Lord, to perfection. And in acknowledging our failings, we know those areas where we need to gain. Be with us, inspire us, guide us, give us strength and determination. On this beautiful morning, we pause and acknowledge birthdays and anniversaries, but we also acknowledge graduations, matriculations, new life. We celebrate Pacific Islanders, our brothers and sisters from Tonga, Samoa, all of the islands, the Fijis, Hawaii. We celebrate their gifts to us in culture, in vibrance, in language, in joy. Lord, bless them. As we are about being one people all together, help us understand how to be a part of their worships as we join in worships, however we may gather. Lord God, we pause and acknowledge before you the wonders of your creation and the wonders of the life and spirit that you place within us. As we are gathered this Sunday, the last Sunday of Easter, prepare us for the coming Pentecost. Prepare us for the coming and the time of celebrating the Spirit given upon us, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks and praise. We give you worship. We gather, opening our hearts and our minds in ways that we never thought possible that we might reach as far as your love reaches. Hear us as we gather with all of the voices in the world, praying as Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A reminder I forgot to mention it during announcements. It is Pentecost Sunday next week. The normal color for Pentecost Sunday is red. So if you don't wear red, you might be red in the face. So come and celebrate the Pentecost event. Thank you for the way the church continues to be open. We pay our bills. We continue to be a ministry in the name of Christ through your offerings, and we are grateful. Let's pause for a moment and let Barbara offer us an offertory.
Thank you, Barb. I would ask you all to remain seated for the reading of this scripture, and also as I'm reading to keep mindful the tidbit Pastor Peter pointed out earlier about the authorship of both of these two books, kind of how they connect from the end of Luke to the beginning of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And you can find that on page 110 of your Pew Bible in the New Testament. Listen for the word of the Lord. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When Jesus had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. The word of the Lord. I'd ask that you'd please rise as we have a video hymn. I would invite the children of all ages and all, whatever island you may be from, please come down and join us in the front for our video hymn. And I would ask that you all please rise too. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, youngsters, and especially the youngster Stephanie. Well, get comfortable, but not too comfortable. A vignette. We're going to all explain that as we get a little further, but I hope you could hear, and we read them out of order, didn't we? We read our scripture lesson first, our gospel lesson, And the other scripture you sat through, do you feel discombobulated? It's out of order from what we normally do it, but we need to hear that the author that wrote Luke also wrote Acts, and that the two are back to back. You hear him say, in the last book, Theophilus, I wrote this, and here we are in that next piece. The end of Luke, Jesus withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And so then in Acts 1, Jesus presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 90 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So we've moved from the resurrection. Now we're hearing a little bit about that tumultuous time after Jesus is gone. And what happened? Well, they were fragmented. They were going different ways. And so during that 40 days, 40, you understand 40 days, don't you? Does that ring any bells for you as you think about the Bible? Wandering for 40 days in the wilderness? You know why they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses wouldn't stop and ask for directions. 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus is 40 days in the wilderness while he's being tempted. You recall? It rained. How long did it rain for Noah? And 40 nights. How long did it rain in Colorado? 40, well, almost. But that number 40, it isn't meant to be literal. It means the whole time that it happened. He was in the wilderness as long as he was in the wilderness, as long as he needed to be in the wilderness. They wandered for 40 years. It was as long as they needed to wander. Actually, I think it rained a little longer than it needed to be for us here, but that's another story. Jesus appeared to them during that period of time that was as long as it needed to be, those 40 years. So I want to give us a view of that kind of that moment and what was going on in that time and that group. Just a glimpse in. That's what I mean by vignette. Okay? Vignette means an image that maybe portrays a greater something. The Shawshank Redemption. How many of you saw that? It's a prison movie. It's a vignette of prison life. It's just one glimpse in to see what things were like there. Here is a vignette then. We're seeing this point in time after Jesus' death and as we are moving into the early years of the church. One of the first things that they misunderstood was this kingdom of God stuff. You see, the disciples and the followers and everybody had heard about Jesus and knew about Jesus, and he even mentioned the kingdom of God. He said to them at one point, the kingdom of God has come near you. And they misunderstood that to mean politically. A kingdom where Israel would be the greatest nation in the world again. They had been once under King David. They wanted that greatness to return. They were thinking in political terms instead of in divine terms. Do we do that in our nation sometimes? Here we are seeing people divided, and it's over political things that don't really matter the way divine things do. And we get lost. But let's not segue too far away from that. Jesus had talked to them and said, let me quote it from Mark 1:15. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. What did that mean? They weren't quite sure. And so their envisionment of kingdom of God, maybe we aren't as sure today either. If the kingdom of God had come near, what did that mean? Was it almost a huge political change? Not at all. But Jesus himself had come near. And most scholars would argue that the kingdom of God represents Christ and Christ's laws and being and ways of living on earth. Here on earth. Not sometime in the future when we'll be able to go to the rest in the arms of the Lord. Praise God. We celebrated Tim Collins and his passing from here to that great place and the beyond. He is at peace. But the kingdom of God refers to here and now and to us. So the Luke Acts continuity shows, let's listen to that. They returned from Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a day's journey away when they entered the city. And somehow we missed verse 13 and 14 out of the Acts reading. I think we missed it. I don't know if we did. Let's double check. I'll read it again. Verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot and James the Lesser. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. So that tells you what's going on. Now, we've come into that period of time that's unsettled, but here they are gathered. It's the apostles. There's 11 of them there, if you were counting. And with them, who did they say was with them? Certain women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. We don't talk about that very often. Did you ever know that Jesus had brothers? Who were they? I'd like to know. That would be curious, and it'd be kind of exciting and interesting. We don't list them. I think in a lot of ways we want Jesus to be completely different, completely separate, completely unique. And yet here he had siblings. How many of you are familiar with the Da Vinci Code? Movie, book, all the story from Dan Brown. He writes about the chalice of Christ, and it turns out to be one of his great-great-great-great-granddaughters, and she is, I can't remember her name, starts with an S, but that's as close as I can get right now, but she is that descendant, and he makes it an amazing sort of thing. But is it possible that there are relatives, brothers and sisters? And this vignette is showing us a picture that's a little different than most of the ones that we envision. It was men in most vignettes. Most paintings will show men. Very few will show the inclusion of women and or children that might have been present. They certainly would have been. Anytime we have a gathering of men and women, the kids are there, aren't they? And we celebrate them. We don't always name them, point them out, and oftentimes we have to chase them down. I got a handful of that this last weekend when my grandson Ryer was in town. I'd forgotten how frenetic eating a dinner together can be. Love it. I love it in brief pieces. But understanding that in that vignette, that picture of what's happening, we hear now clearly those others that were present, including the women. The documents, the literature, the remembrances of everybody leaves them out because women were just not considered an important issue to include. They were second-class citizens at best. We've gotten better. I don't think we're through with that journey at all, that gender equality thing. When did the suffragette movement happen? How many of you remember? I buried a gal in Johnstown who had been a member of the Women's Christian Temperance Union. How many of the United Methodist women remember being members of the? Yeah, here's Sandy and Carol grinning. Was it Women's Christian Temperance Union here? No? What was it called here? Okay, Carol said her grandmother was involved. That's not very long ago, generation to generations. And I don't think we're done yet. Pay inequality still has some journeys to go. Equality of all kinds of things. Can women do those things? I have to tell you, when pie is gone, I'm a mess. It's just an issue that in the office, She is the office manager, and boy, she does a great job. We should acknowledge her and say thank you. Thank you, Ms. Paya. Thank you. We try and get our jobs done together now. Although both of us are part-time and both of us are fragmented, and we try and do our best, and God guide us, God inspire us. But it's interesting to see all of this inclusiveness and that Jesus set up, but it didn't really continue and is taking generations still to kind of move in that direction, you see. Power is seductive, and it is a temptation. And I'm convinced now that it is instinctive. I have neighbors that are goosey. They are literally geese. I live next to the park. And Sunday or Friday, I came home from work trying to drive in my driveway, and geese were walking down the road and stopped and looked at my car as if, what are you doing? We're walking here. They're very interesting creatures. And not only that, but you'll see a group of them, and invariably one of them is more powerful than the other. And they'll go in a pecking order, and one of them will put their wings up and duck their head down and run at another pecking away, and the other one will go honking and flapping and run away. And pecking orders and power struggles. We do that all the time, don't we, as humans? What a sad situation. And I wonder if we're as comical in our pecking orders as those geese, honking and flapping and carrying on. It's a sad piece of how we are not yet into the kingdom of God. You see, because that's what the kingdom of God is portraying. And that's what Jesus had modeled, and that was the model that he has setting before us as we look at that vignette of the disciples gathered, the apostles gathered, of the women gathered, of his brothers gathered, all of them together. And no differentiation, it didn't spell out who was in charge. They were equal. They were gender equal. They were unbiased. They were unracist. They were unclassist. They had warriors on one side of the apostles and peacenicks on the other, hawks and doves together. They had poor, simple fellows. Andrew was barely, he was just as simple as you could be. Not ignorant, but he just hadn't had much formal education, as opposed to Matthew, well educated. He was a publican, he was a tax collector. And here they are gathered together, Jesus gathering them. All of the diversity and diversities of region and dialect. The kingdom of God is about equality and justice and care of one another and family and connectedness. It's about God being with us. And it's about us working together continually to be a part of God's family truly and completely and unjudgmentally. And God of creation and our love of creation and our care of creation and our place in creation. And thank goodness for humans, it's a place and a group that's growing and healing and saving and being faithful in Christ. So this vignette, this brief picture of them gathered, becomes a model for us with Christ in the midst, with the Spirit in the midst, and with love as the guiding principle. Amen? Amen. Barbara, get back up here. She's down here. It is impossible to hear up here. We won't go into the technicalities. Let's stand for our closing hymn. We are the church. Holly, come lead us.
Follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church.
You did well. Holly, thank you for leading us and just showing us the hand signs and all that. Yeah, we make them up as we go. Melissa and I have our own set in talking about those.
Can I tell one real quick?
Please, please, come.
If you saw me going like this.
Here, get up to the microphone here.
If you saw me going like this, that is a real sign. That's the sign for Jesus in American Sign Language and seeing Essential English Sign Language. Yes, and world is, you're right, world is more like that, but I was just, yeah. I've forgotten it all. But anyway, this is a sign for Jesus representing the nails in his hands.
The two.
You take your middle finger.
Oh, the middle finger.
Touch that one, and then you touch that one. Jesus.
We just learned some more language. How about that? Thank you for that, American sign. How many of you knew that sign language? A couple of you. All right. So I'm just illiterate. But we go out of here knowing some things. We know what Christ is teaching us, what Christ has taught us, and what we still need to work on and learn. So as you go out of here, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guide us and inspire us. Lead us and show us. Hold us together. Hold us in your family, the family of God, the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Join hands. Let's sing our closing. God's people said, amen.